Our speaker today is not a stranger to the North England Conference. He is a self-supporting international evangelist who has ministered on various continents. He has a special love for Africa, where he has labored extensively. He is a graduate of Okuda University and the Andrews University. He is married and lives with his wife in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Pastor Skeet has two great loves, the Bible and the writing of Ellen White. Welcome to the West Bridgeford Hub, Pastor Skeet.
Thank you very much. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice, and let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there's mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. I'm grateful to God for this honor, this privilege to be with you on this holy day. It is still secular time where I am, but it could very well be holy time where you are. But God is always holy. God is never secular. So when we worship him, it is a holy experience, regardless of the day or the time on which we worship God. Thank you, Sister Orlean, for the invitation. May the Lord bless you. And God bless all those of your group who regularly meet on Friday evenings to worship God in spirit and in truth. God is popularly worshiped only in spirit all over the world, or so people think. But it is impossible to worship God unless you worship him in spirit and in truth. In John 4, 24, Jesus says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And many Christians do not realize that the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. Jesus said in John 16, 13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of Truth, is come. And so may the Lord bless you for your love of his word, for your love of truth. If there's anyone listening who is not a Seventh-day Adventist, I am particularly delighted to welcome you, and may the Lord bless you and place a double blessing on your children. If any of you has contracted the coronavirus, I will ask God in his great mercy to deliver you from that affliction, to restore your health, and in demonstrating that mercy in your life, perhaps that will draw you even closer to God, because the Bible says, we love him because he first loved us. I'm grateful to God. I say that again, and I thank him for the honor of speaking for him. Our subject for this brief vesper is beginnings determine endings. Beginnings determine endings. Before I begin, please do three little things for me. Number one, wherever you are, please preserve reverence. Monitor your children, monitor behavior. As I said earlier, the fact that we're worshiping electronically does not change the holiness of God. Whether you worship God in the desert like Moses or wherever, God is God. So preserve holiness, reverence where you are. Favor, pray for me while I'm speaking and simply say, Lord, put your words in that man's mouth. This is a very serious request. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse says, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. And as surely as God lives, I want to speak the words of God. And favor number three, I want you to think as you listen. Please think. Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. God is a reasonable God, and he is a reasoning God. And so he invites us to reason. Bring your common sense into play, but let it be guided by the Spirit of Truth. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for life. Despite all the trials and tribulations, none of us wants to die right now. We thank you for life. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your stubborn love. We thank you for the conviction of your spirit and for the protection of your mighty angels. And we thank you for fellowship one with the other. If we've sinned against you, dear God, forgive us. That's why Calvary exists. Forgive us, dear God, and grant us power to resist that thing. Be particularly merciful to me, Father, because it is my duty and my honor, my burden, my task to speak for you. Grant me your words. Put your spirit in my heart and in my mind. Give me clarity of speech, boldness of speech, but humility of attitude. Bless all those listening, particularly our guests, and a very special blessing on little boys or little girls who may be watching. Father, if anyone under the sound of my voice has contracted the coronavirus, I ask you describe yourself in Exodus 15:26. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Father, exercise that healing power, dear God. And if anyone listening has the coronavirus, heal that person, I pray. In the name of Jesus, Father, do that, I pray, because you are merciful God. Now I commit this presentation to your glory. Bless your people all over the UK, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Our subject, beginnings determine endings. Let us go to Genesis chapter 6. We shall read from verse 1, and I will read from the King James Version of the Bible. Genesis 6, we shall read from verse 1. The Bible says, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his day shall be 120 years. God was displeased with the lifestyle in the days of Noah, and God gave 120 years of probation, during which Noah preached. Verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. God looked, God evaluated, God assessed, and God concluded that the world was wicked. Now, what does that mean? In order to understand that, let's go to another part of the Bible. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 2. We shall read verse 5. Our subject, beginnings determine endings. 2 Peter chapter 2. Verse 5, and remember to ask God to put his words in my mouth. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. The problem that led to the flood was ungodliness. Let me say that again. The problem that led to the flood was ungodliness. Not economic difficulties, not an absence of upper level in educational institutions, none of those problems. The problem was ungodliness. Let's see what it was in the days of Lot prior to God destroying the cities of the plain by fire. We stay in 2 Peter chapter 2. We'll go to verse 6. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those who should afterward live ungodly. And delivered just Lot, verse 7, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Now we're told in the days of Lot, the people, their conversation was filthy and they were wicked. They were also wicked in the days of Noah, because wickedness is wickedness is wickedness, because all wickedness is the transgression of the law of God. Verse 8 of 2 Peter 2. For that righteous man, dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. So we have unlawful, we have filthy, we have wicked, we have ungodly. These words describe the conditions in the days of Noah and the days of Lot that led to the destruction of Noah's world by a flood and to the destruction of the cities in Lot's area by fire. What is the point I'm trying to make? The fundamental problem of society is not a lack of jobs. It is not an absence of advanced degrees. The problem with society is sin, which means that our beginning when assessing what's going on must be a spiritual approach. Let us go to Genesis chapter 3, and I'll try to explain that a little more clearly. I just said it must be a spiritual approach. We must view things first spiritually. That does not neglect sociology and demographics and economics, but we must begin spiritually or we will come to incorrect conclusions. Genesis 3, we shall read from verse 1. Well, let's read chapter 2, verse 16, 17 first. But before I do, let me pray again. Father in heaven, continue to speak through me for your glory and for the blessing of your beloved people who are listening. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Listen to what God told the population of the earth prior to sin. And I'm very deliberate. Adam and Eve were the population of the world. Here's what he said. Of every tree, well, let's read the whole thing. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. This is what God told the population of the world. And I'm not being silly. I am being serious. Adam and Eve constituted the population of the earth, and the population would grow from that point on. God told the population of the earth, do not disobey my word. If you do, calamity will come, and that calamity is death. Now, let's go to chapter 3. And let's read verse 7. We know they've sinned. Chapter 3, they've sinned. We go to verse 7. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Here is the population of the world. Here are Adam and Eve trying to solve a problem, not spiritually. Because when a problem is solved spiritually, the person begins with God. They did not begin with God. Let's go to verse 8. They saw a fig, verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. So we have verse 7, they're trying to solve their problem. They're using approaches that are not spiritual. They did not begin with God. If you go to verse 17, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. Now sin has affected the ground, and so we have agricultural problems. We have food production problems. Look at verse 16. And to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And so we have spousal abuse. We have harsh dictatorial husbands. Why? The result of sin, not the result of sociology, the result of sin. Now, sin created problems at the sociological level. Sin created problems at the agricultural level. Sin created problems at the anatomical, physiological level, because now childbirth is painful. Adam now sweats when he works. The fundamental problem is sin. God said, you'll die. They did not die immediately, but they immediately began to encounter problems. Let's look at verse 25 of chapter 2. Our subject, beginnings determine endings. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Genesis 2:25. Listen to verse 6 and verse 7 of chapter 3 of Genesis. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now we have a change in thinking as a result of sin. Sin immediately affected the thinking. It affected her outlook. Why do I say that? Listen to Genesis chapter 2, verse 9. Not verse 9, sorry, verse 16, 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. That's what God said. Adam knew it. Eve knew it. But having accepted Satan's proposition, she now sees as good for food what God declared not to be good for food. And so verse 6 of chapter 3 tells us, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, why do people have twisted thinking regarding this problem of that development? It is because sin affects the way we think. And so we look at crime and we see only a sociological problem. We look at unemployment and we see an economic problem. We look at problems in the home and we see a domestic problem. We do not see at the very foundation is this thing called sin. And when the church does not understand the foundation of problems is a spiritual one, how can the church be a blessing to society when the church thinks just like the world? My brothers and sisters, beginnings determine endings. Let's take, for example, this pandemic called COVID-19, the coronavirus. Yes, it affects us physiologically. Yes, people die. Yes, there have been economic problems. But what is it that brings disease and sickness and suffering and plague? The answer is sin. There is a sinless God. There is a holy God who is reaching the end of his rope with the sinful world. And the outcome of sin, prior to death, they are the expressions of death. Sickness is an expression of death. Suffering, an expression of death. The entire world is deteriorating, and God the Father himself said that. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 1 and see where God tells us the cosmos is deteriorating, and it is not deteriorating because the environment is not properly managed, which it is not. It is deteriorating because there is a virus in the cosmos. It is called sin. Hebrews chapter 1, let's read from verse 8. We're listening to the words of the Father. Keep this in mind. And he is talking to his son. Before I get into that, let me pray again. God of heaven and earth, give me the right words, dear God, that your people may be blessed, but more so, the truth may be glorified, which is glorifying you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Hebrews 1, verse 8. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Now listen to 10. And thou, Lord, in the beginning, hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. That's God the Father speaking. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up. God is telling his son, which the son already knows, but he's telling us, creation is deteriorating and everything connected with it. The fundamental problem, my listening friends, is sin. But the greatest deception of a sinful mind is that the sinful mind will not acknowledge that its problem is itself. And so we look outward for solutions. But let me tell you, as a brother in Christ, the first step in solving any problem in the life of a believer is to begin with your relationship with God. Beginnings determine endings. Begin with your relationship with God, whatever it is you're facing. You may not have sinned, but it is wise to begin. David said to God, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, because very often, because of the way we are, we look at ourselves and we see a model of perfection. We do not see what God sees. And so David invited God, you look, because with your divine telescopic vision, you will see what I have missed, whether by accident or deliberately. Beginnings determine endings. The ground was cursed because of sin. Painful childbirth because of sin. When Noah came out of the ark, God had to place the fear of man into animals because animals had now become affected by sin. They were wild, they were ravenous. God realized only 8 people were coming out of the ark. He had to do something about wild animals, so he placed in them the fear of mankind so that they would by nature avoid mankind. Other than that, 8 people would have been devoured. Sin has affected the animal world. So when you go on a safari, which I love, you have to travel in a vehicle with bars to be safe from animals God made to fellowship with us. What am I saying? The reason for that is sin. Beginnings determine endings. I do not know what crisis is in your life personally. whatever it is, your approach, step one, am I right with my God? Is this sin in my life? It does not mean you're not a child of God. We're all moving on the road to perfection. We're all being sanctified, which is the process of constantly removing us from those from us, the impurities, and bring us closer to that divine ideal, which, according to Ellen White, is godliness. Godlikeness is the goal to be reached. So having a sin in the life does not mean you're not a child of God. It means you and I have a struggle. But the presence of that sin will cause problems. Why? Because sin has no benefits in the eyes of God. Let me say it again. Sin has absolutely no benefits in the eyes of God. Obedience to God has no drawbacks in the eyes of God. Let me say it again. Sin has no benefits in the eyes of God. Obedience to God is the source of every possible blessing God can bestow upon you and me. My listening friend, as you look at society as it is going today, in my country of the United States, you know what happened 2 weeks ago at our Capitol building? People took a Democratic approach, a Republican approach, an independent party approach. The child of God needed to take a prophetic approach, because we know from prophecy and the insight of our servant Ellen White that restriction of religious liberty and fundamental rights will begin right in this blessed country of the US. The child of God, instructed by scripture, his eyesight enlightened by prophetic revelation, sees it through the lens of God, through the eyes of God, through the prism of scripture, so that prism can break up this event, all the different colors of that event, that the child of God might properly conclude what is going on. And we're approaching the end of time. Beginnings determine endings. Every problem in our society is the result of sin. It is not the approach governments take. It is not the approach universities take. It is not the approach think tanks take. It is the approach God has recommended to us. When Jesus came to die, follow me closely. Jesus came to a world where women had no rights, virtually no rights. He left and it was the same condition. He came to deal with the root of that problem. When Christ came to the world, he came to a world where slavery was just normal. He left, it was the same condition. What am I saying? Did Christ agree with slavery? No. Suppressing rights? No. Did Christ agree with the occupation of the Romans and the Jews? No. What I'm saying is he came to let his people know the problem is sin. When Peter said to Christ, "Be it far from thee, O Lord, this shall not be unto thee," he tried to stop Christ from going to Jerusalem to die. Matthew 16, 21 to 23. Jesus rebuked him and said, "Thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Peter looked at Christ through the prism, a secular prism. He saw him as a means of overthrowing the Romans. His mindset was secular, and because of that, he tried to tamper with the plan of salvation, not deliberately, but out of the ignorance. But the fact that his mind was centered on the world inevitably led him to try to halt and frustrate the plan of salvation. Jesus Christ, his mind was always on the spiritual, his Father's will. Consequently, he recognized the danger of what Peter was doing, and he lovingly rebuked Peter. Let me give an example of what many families do, and don't be angry with me. We send our children to prestigious schools because we believe if they emerge with a certificate with that school's name on it, Oxford, Cambridge, London School of Economics, Harvard, whatever, that guarantees a good job. It's a foundation for economic security for that child. That's the way we think, because we think secularly. But the fundamental purpose of education is the salvation of the soul. Don't turn the TV off or the computer. Listen to me again. You see, the ways of heaven are vastly different from the ways of the earth. They're two extremes. The fundamental purpose of education is the salvation of the soul. No wonder the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And many of us as parents, we think secularly when we choose schools for our children or we acknowledge the ones they choose. We do not think of the spiritual ramifications. We think only of the prestige that comes with a degree from this school or that school. And spiritual damage occurs, and it occurs, and it occurs. And our children emerge with mindsets and thinking and philosophies that erode this spirituality like acid. You and I must begin spiritually. I was talking to someone about health. Now, sickness is a result of sin. Let me say that very quickly. In Psalm 103, verse 3, the Bible says, who forgiveth all our iniquities, who healeth all our diseases. These things go together. Exodus 15, 26, if you obey me, obey me, obey me, four statements, then God said, I will remove sickness from you. Sickness is a result of sin. It may not be the result of sin you've committed, it's the result of living in a sinful world. And I was talking to a lady about the weight and her weight, which was excessive and dangerous to her health. And we agreed, her problem was appetite. Inability to control appetite is a spiritual problem. I don't know how it is in the UK. In the United States, we have so many weight loss programs, so many, and virtually none of them are effective. But we have them, and each one comes up, people run on that bandwagon, not realizing no one approaches the weight loss problem as a sinful problem. No one approaches health as a problem of a spiritual problem. It is a spiritual problem. Why? Because the very first victory Jesus won was a victory over appetite. He began his work where the fall began. The fall began on appetite. He began on appetite. What am I saying? You pick the area of problems, and I'm telling you, the beginning point must be spiritual. Perhaps I'm a little too forceful. Let me be a little nicer. God wants to open your eyes and show you that the problem is a spiritual one, and it could be condensed to one three-letter word, and that is sin. Regardless of the calamity in your life, regardless of what's going on in society, the child of God cannot adopt the same mindset or the same attitude as the general world. Why? Because we are supposed to be the light of the world. We are supposed to be the ones to tell the world, here is how you think about the coronavirus. Here is how you think about the economic conditions in the UK or Sweden. Here is how you think about the school system. Here is how you think about this pandemic of children disobeying their parents. Here is how you think. And the perspective of the church based on the Bible of God should be a light to the world. And so Jesus told his disciples, ye are the light of the world. Now he's saying that to those who presumably had the mind of Christ. If I have the mind of Christ, I cannot see the world the way the world sees itself. Because how I think will affect how I behave. My listening friends, I'll conclude this brief vesper by urging you in the name of Jesus Christ. All people who are lost, it'll be their own fault. No one is lost accidentally. I will say it again. No one is lost accidentally. Change the way you think. Go to the Word of God. When God created the universe, the heaven and the earth, you know what he created first? Light. What's the source of light for us today? The Word. What created light at creation week? The Word. And God said, that's the word, let there be light. There was light. Go to the source of light. 1 John 5:19, and we know that we're of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness or darkness. And the reason why Jesus said, ye the light of the world, because the world is in darkness. And the world has to turn for a source of light. That source must be the disciples of Christ who follow the tradition of truth that Jesus Christ taught. My appeal to you, adopt the mindset of Jesus, who saw everything first spiritually. That is why he rebuked Peter. Peter began politically. Peter was thinking sociologically. And there's nothing wrong with sociology, don't misunderstand me. Peter was thinking culturally. That's why he would not associate with Gentiles, and Paul had to rebuke him. We must begin spiritually. Let your beginning be the word of God. Because the very world in which you live began by the word of God. Every day of creation, the Bible says, and God said. The word of God will reorient your mind. The word of God will clarify your thinking. The word of God will allow you to properly interpret what is going on in our present world. The word of God will prepare you to endure the trials that are upon us and the most severe ones that are coming. And the word of God will fit you for a place in God's kingdom. The word of God will keep your children on the path of righteousness. The word of God will bring back that relative that left the church. The word of God, obeyed, of course, will heal you. Begin from God's point of view, which is, thus saith the Lord. Remember, God said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Always remember that the Lord doth not see as man seeth. That's what he told Samuel. And Samuel was a prophet. He was a priest. He was the leader of Israel, and he made a mistake when finding a replacement for David, because he looked on the outward appearance of Eliab, the first son of Jesse. And God rebuked him and said, I don't think the way you think. I think differently. But we can learn to think like God. I'll close now, but I must be repetitious. Whatever you do, in whatever circumstance you find yourself, begin with, thus saith the Lord. Interpret everything through the eyes of God. And the eyes of God are the words of God. May God bless you as you guide your families based on thus saith the Lord, not what society says. May God bless you as you pursue your education based on thus saith the Lord. May the Lord bless you as you pursue your romance based on thus saith the Lord. May God bless you as you pursue your business, your profession, based on thus saith the Lord. If you start right, you will end right. If you start wrong and never change, you will end up in catastrophe. We have a God who's a God of salvation. He's a specialist in restoration. He's an expert in reclamation. Remember that and give your life to him anew, afresh right now. Let him set your feet where your feet should be. On thus saith the Lord, stay on that path and you cannot, will not go wrong. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. Father, it's tough sometimes because it cuts across the human nature, but we need your word because your word is life. Help us, dear God, to see things through your eyes. Help us to begin always with thus saith the Lord, to continue with thus saith the Lord, and to end with thus saith the Lord, so that at all times we're protected by divine wisdom. Father, if anyone listening to me has taken a path that does not begin with thus saith the Lord, bring that person back, dear God. Reclaim that person. Halt him or her in his or her progress, and let that person be reoriented by your spirit. Bless everyone who listened, especially our guests, and especially little boys and girls. Heal anyone who contracted the coronavirus, dear God. Please keep us faithful, Father, in all we do. Let us not panic because of conditions. Let us lean on you. And let us pray as Jehoshaphat prayed when Judah was threatened by three armies. Jehoshaphat said in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. God, help us to keep our eyes on you. If we do that, we will not stray from the plain path. Bless us again, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Pastor.
You're welcome.
Accepting the call and for admonishing us as to what we need to do to be ready. Mm-hmm. Always have the word of the Lord with us at the beginning and also at the ending. All right. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor.